hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Adrian, during the break here, my wife just walked in. Somebody had emailed me. Thank you, Randy, for this. He said, not 2 minutes ago, the Bank of England said the worldwide credit crisis was over. And he puts in his email and pops up an article that says, an article pops up that says the central bank may take additional action to calm the worst credit crisis since the Great Depression. He says, this is over-the-top balderdash BS fungal bunk. It boggles the mind.
It really does. I mean, I have spoken to a couple of people at UBS. You know, that's the biggest bank in Europe. And they say that they might have to write off a little more, but not very much. But they say, essentially, we're about halfway in the whole problem, halfway. In the United States, we've written off over $1 trillion. You know, I mean, and who knows how much has been written off in Europe. I mean, Italy is about to come online, you know. Italy is, one of the major banks in Italy is going to write off about $50 billion shortly. So, you know, to even consider this as being over is dumb. It's just plain dumb.
Well, and my analogy about the criminals standing in your bedroom or raping your wife, I mean, in this country, folks, now imagine this. If we had a real money system and banks that would loan money on a fee basis, not interest base, because they could do this on a fee base, because there wouldn't be such this thing called inflation. In actuality, it's the devaluation. The more money they print, the less it's worth. So we would have in this country a stable form of people that could borrow and pay back. I mean, if you buy a $100,000 house, and that's not going to buy you much in America nowadays, but if you buy a $100,000 house, what are you paying back the bankers? $250,000, a quarter of a million, $275,000?
Over a quarter of a million.
Yeah, depending on the interest rate at the time.
Yeah.
And then after their speculation and all the things that they did, the other shoe is getting ready to drop with all the derivatives.
But all of this is based on fractional reserve banking.
Mm-hmm.
And fractional reserve banking was developed in Babylon during the Jewish Babylonian captivity. And people should understand historically how all of this developed. Up until about the 9th century, there was really no organized sort of banking. There were probably, you know, some jewelers or you know, gold traders or something that had a safe with some money in it or something, you know, some gold and silver, and they, you know, maybe loan some money out or something. But there was no real established banking system. At about the beginning of the Crusades in the 11th century, the banking system started to develop, and it was developed by Jewish bankers who came into Western Europe. And they had developed a rather ingenious concept. And the concept is really based on common sense. If you're a banker, And you're a banker usually because you've got a big stone house and you've got a big, you know, vault in that house where you can keep things that burglars can't get at, and maybe you hire a couple of guards, you know, so you're the banker. And what these people did is they would accept deposits from people.
I know where you're going with this, and they would issue a receipt. Let's pick that up
exactly
when we get back from the break. Let's pick it up exactly from there. I want people to understand what we're talking about here. We'll be right back.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, You're Fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, You're Fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA's secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Hi, this is Dave from Ready Reserve Foods. I have been waiting patiently for the government and mainstream media to inform you of what is turning out to be the biggest problem facing the world in the last 50 years. For the last 3 years, the Earth has consumed more food than it has been able to produce, and it has now finally caught up with us. In the U.S., commodities such as flour and rice are already being rationed, and the next rice crop won't be available for another 4 to 5 months. It's fall in the Southern Hemisphere, and many countries are short the food necessary to make it through the winter and have stopped exporting certain commodities altogether. Remember our trade deficit? Trillions of dollars have stacked up outside the country and are now rushing in to buy our food production at any price. By late summer, if not early fall, it is likely our government will step in and control food and food exports under martial law. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202. 1-800-453-2202. Or visit us at www.readyreservefoods.com. 1-800-453-2202.
American adventurer Jim Humble discovered how a simple chemical compound and powerful oxidizer, chlorine dioxide, could be effectively used to reduce toxicity within the human body. The buzz on Jim's discovery, MMS, Miracle Mineral Supplement, is spreading, but not the understanding. Until now. Understanding MMS, Conversations with Jim Humble is a new DVD available at understanding-mms.com. The Understanding MMS DVD will show how you can be a part of your own solution to toxicity. Here's the documentary producer.
This is Adam Abraham inviting you to get informed and help others to be informed of this amazing way to reduce the body's load of toxins, harmful microorganisms, and pathogens from the waters inside our bodies.
Get your understanding today for only $29.95 at understanding-mms.com. That's understanding-mms.com. Use passcode RBN to receive 10% off.
Our health really depends on it.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right. I'll tell you what. We have a somewhat skittish phone system here, Adrian, and we do have callers, and I'm going to intersperse the callers here. Because
okay.
If I leave them on hold too long, the system will just magically delete them.
Okay.
Don in Ohio, and we'll pick up exactly in the receipts and how they figured out that they could start ripping people off. Don
okay.
in Ohio, you're up.
First, Snipes is appealing his conviction. That came in about an hour ago.
Good.
On this oil thing, is it possible that, like, Bush's old land area and stuff like that, Arbusto Oil Company, that were turned out to be dry oil wells, is it possible to pump in stolen oil into those mines and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, sure. That's how the national what is they call it? The National Emergency Fuel Depository operates. They just bring oil in from somewhere and
pump it back in,
pump it off the tankers and pump it back into the ground.
Yeah, somebody needs to go to that land that Arbusto's on and make sure they ain't trying to pump
Venezuela's oil or somebody's oil.
Well, I want to tell you on that issue, everybody should really sort of look up something, and it's called Gull Island.
Yep.
And Kuparuk, K-U-P-A-R-U-C-K. Those are two enormous oil fields. They're so large, they dwarf the Saudi and Iraqi oil fields.
Well, there's something else, though, that's been added to this mix. Well, they're telling us a couple of years ago, peak oil, the Bakken oil formation.
Yes.
Okay, and they're saying that this thing, this could have up to over 500 billion barrels of oil in it. And this is not the heavy stuff that Venezuela has. No, this is a light, sweet crude. 41 degree light, sweet crude. That's a heck of a lot of oil.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, would it be possible, you think, that Ron Paul could put forth a bill saying that any oil that ever comes out of Gull Island belongs to the people?
Well, you know, listen, it does belong to the people because it's government land.
That's right. That's right. And the oil companies, they lock the contracts up on this stuff.
Exactly.
And thank you, Don. I appreciate you.
Can I ask one more question?
One more question, yeah.
Advertising. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious as to how much it costs per commercial. I mean, you know, what kind of rates you do. I was thinking about going into a business.
Well, just do me a favor. Contact Michael over here, 800-724-2719, extension 123.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Day.
Appreciate it. The futures and the oil contracts. Now, I read this the other day, and this was actually out of the Oklahoman. And you can go online at newsok.com and read the story for yourself. A guy by the name of Malcolm Burko. He's out of Boca Raton, Florida, and he spelled out where the money is coming from and how much these people are making. Now, Exxon owns 29 billion barrels of oil at $100 per barrel with an inventory value of $2.9 trillion. Now, what do they own that oil at? What do they actually own that oil at? $5.45 a barrel. Chevron, estimated oil inventory right now, estimated worth $2.2 trillion. Well, their cost is a paltry $5.34. Royal Dutch Shell, which just posted, along with BP over in the UK for the first 3 months of this year, they made over $12 billion. Well, the Royal Dutch Shell's inventory, valued at $2.6 trillion, only cost them a lousy $5.77 a barrel. And, folks, these are in the T's, not the B's. This is in trillions of dollars. Now, we got off in the oil hole here, and I want to get back to the banking.
Yes.
Now, you were saying...
We were talking about the jewelers. And let's remember what the first three letters of jeweler is. And the jewelers accepted wealth in deposit. It could be gold, silver, copper, maybe even steel. And they put it in their storeroom. And what they found out was that once they had 50 or 100 depositors, never did anybody draw out more than about 10 or 15% of the total amount. So they said, well, hell, we can loan this money out to other people. And this is how fractional reserve banking developed. And this is became to be the major banking system in the entire Western world. And what happens is very, very simply is that a bank accepts deposits and they loan out, it used to be 86%, and then the federal government kept reducing the percentage of actual deposit that they have to keep. I think it's now at 5.5 or 5.6%. So, in other words, what's happened is that these banks then would take your deposit in. They would pay you, let's say, 4 or 5% interest. They would loan it out at anywhere from 8 to 15 or 20% interest, and the difference would be their profit. What they're doing is they're actually working, they're making money on your money. But what's really crooked is the way they keep their books. If you look at the books of a bank, you will notice that they say the deposits are their assets. The deposits aren't their assets. The deposits belong to the people who deposited the money with them.
The only assets that they could claim is the money that they made off of loaning other people's assets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this whole banking system is a absolute sham. It is a crooked business. If you did this, if you didn't have a license as a banker, they would call you a loan shark. They would put you in jail. They would say it's illegal what you're doing. But you can buy a license from the government. They'll give you a license, and that license allows you to rip off the public, and that's what bankers do.
Well, and for the benefit of the listeners out there that may or may not understand what we're talking about, the Federal Reserve Bank itself is a consortium of 9 Jew-owned and associated banks with the Rothschilds right at the head. Number one on the list, Rothschild Banks of London and Berlin, Lazard Brothers Banks of Paris, Israel Moses Seif Banks of Italy, Warburg Bank of Hamburg and Amsterdam, Lehman Brothers of New York, Kuhn Loeb Bank of New York, now Shearson American Express, Goldman Sachs of New York, National Bank of Commerce, New York, Morgan Guaranty Trust, J.P. Morgan Bank, Equitable Life, Levi P. Morton are the principal shareholders on that one. Hanover Trust of New York, William and David Rockefeller, and Chase National Bank, New York, are the principal shareholders. Now, folks, you understand what we're saying here. Now, a lot of people will take hits. Oh, you're being anti-Semitic. No more, Adrian, and this is my retort. No more does it make me anti-Catholic for going after some priest that's preying on your young boys out of the diocese that he's operating at.
Well, I think much more so. I tend not even to mention that they're Jewish. I just provide the names. Well, Bernanke, Greenspan, Robert Rubin, are they Christians? You know? I mean, all you have to do is look at the names, and it's indisputable. The Federal Reserve System and all of the major banks are run and owned by Jews. It's a Jewish business banking, just like jewelry is.
But why are so many people, and this is really what I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around, are people that terrified of the power that these people wield that they will not talk about them? Because
absolutely.
This is the root of this evil tree bearing nothing but fruit that you can't eat, folks.
Absolutely. Look, let me put it in very crass and simple terms for your listeners. I'm an author. I've written, 14, 15 books. I cannot get my books to be reviewed by any of the major media. Why won't they review my books? Because the major media is controlled by Jews, period. They control it. The New York Times is Jewish. The Washington Post is Jewish. The Los Angeles Times is Jewish. The San Francisco Chronicle is Jewish. They're all Jewish. And so if I can't get a book review, how am I able to tell people that I've written a book? I can't. They won't distribute my books. They won't stock them because they control the distribution. So if you want to buy my book, you can get it in any bookstore. But you have to go in and you have to request a book and you have to say, this is the book I want. This is the ISBN. I want Before Departing, a few words by A.H. Krieg. Okay, yes, we can get that book for you. They will order one book for you. They will try to dissuade you by saying, oh, it'll take 3 weeks or 4 weeks to get it, which is rubbish. My printer Lightning Source is connected to Ingram's. They will ship any book within 4 days. So it's just absolute rubbish that, you know. But this is what they do, and they suppress thousands and thousands of books and periodicals by their control of the media.
The very entity we're talking about here, folks, is literally controlling this economy, controlling the Congress, controlling every faction of your life. But yet so many people are afraid to say anything about it. Ron Paul, Congressman Paul, says, you know what we need to do in this country for it to survive? We need to dump the Fed Reserve. We'll be right back.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
All right, we're back. Adrian, we're burning through this time. I just looked up at the old atomic clock on the wall, and we have just skimmed the surface here. Before departing, a few words, compilation of your most important works. And by the way, who designed the cover of this book?
Well, it was sort of my idea.
Well, it's a great cover because the clock shows just a couple of minutes to midnight. Now, let me first, and the other books that you've written, by the way, Money,
yep.
Veil, The Illuminati and Its Plans for the Future, The New American, New Speak Dictionary, which I really enjoyed, Our Political Systems, July 4th, 2016, the last Independence Day, The Satori of the New Mandarins, Marketing Your Products Through Distribution Channels, Plate Forming Machines, Distributor Marketing, The Problems with Welding Fumes and How to Solve Them, Essays and Articles. You've done a lot of different things. Now,
the biggest seller of that was welding fumes.
Really?
50,000.
I'll be darned. Now, the ISBN number, if people want to go into a bookstore and order this, which ISBN number should they give?
Well, on this last book here, Before Departing, the ISBN number is 0-9748-502-8-4.
Okay.
0-9748-502-8-4. But if they say to anybody in a bookstore, if they just say Before Departing, a few words by A.H. Krieg, and it's K-R-I-E-G, should be able to pull it up without any problem.
All right. And if they just want to call and pick up the phone and make an order?
They can order that at 800-431-1579.
Now, this is being simultaneously printed in the U.K. and also the United States.
That's right.
All right. Okay, and we'll repeat that one more time before you leave the airwaves with us today.
Okay.
Now, we're getting down to the fix here. Now, inside this country, I'm going to give you a timeline of the Jew-owned Federal Reserve banks. And folks, understand again that when I use the term Jew, I'm not talking about the true Semitic Jews, or I'm not talking about the Orthodox Jews, not the Kabbalists and not the Talmudists, the Torah conservative-believing Jews that are unfortunately still waiting for their Savior. But these are the people that are not out to upset the apple cart, so to speak. Now, here's the line of the Jew-owned banks here inside America. 1791 to 1811, the Rothschilds, First Bank of the United States. 1816 to 1836, 20 years there, Rothschild Second Bank of the United States. 1837 to 1862, oh, right before, that's right, we had a war of aggression from the North on the South. The free banking area, now, no formal central bank through the efforts of President Andrew Jackson. But from 1862 to 1913, the system of the national banks through the efforts of none other than Andy Jackson. The guy that was against it, all of a sudden, they crop up and they're here in this country. And 1913 to present, folks, you've heard it ad nauseum, but it's the Federal Reserve Act. This affects a consortium of the privately held Jewish and associated banks called the Federal Reserve Bank, the largest shareholders of which, of the Federal Reserve Bank, are the Rothschilds of London, holding 57% of the stock, which, by the way, is not available for public trading. They want to keep the majority of that stock. Anything over 51% is considered majority. They just want a little buffer in there. They control 57% of the stock that you're never able to buy.
And now I'm going to give you another little bit of information. The largest bank in the world, which would be called the Bankers Bank, is called the BIS.
Bank of International Settlements.
Bank of International Settlements, located in Basel, Switzerland. And they loan money to countries and banks. If you're talking less than $50 or $100 million, don't even bother to call them. Their shares used to be able to buy them. The last time they had shares on the market, I think they were about $6,000 a share. They were withdrawn about 24 or 25 years ago. You cannot buy shares in that bank any longer. All of the shares are owned by major banks. So there you are. It's a closed system, and the same people control it everywhere in the world.
And I need people to understand this because, Adrian, I've never been accused by the ADL of being anti-Semitic. And the only reason I have been able to determine why they have not called me out as being anti-Semitic is because I'm one of the few guys on the airwaves out there that has spelled out in clear distinction about the so-called Jewish cabal, which they're really not Jewish, folks. These are secular people. They don't believe in God. They may believe in other things, and who knows what they believe in. But they believe in one thing, and that's highway robbery.
And Their god is Mammon.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people bowing at the feet of it right now, worrying about their credit score. And how am I to get more credit? I need credit to survive. We'll take the break. I got a call here from Sergeant Major Lee out of Florida. We'll take his call right after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Hi, this is Dave from Ready Reserve Foods. I have been waiting patiently for the government and mainstream media to inform you of what is turning out to be the biggest problem facing the world in the last 50 years. For the last 3 years, the Earth has consumed more food than it has been able to produce, and it has now finally caught up with us. In the U.S., commodities such as flour and rice are already being rationed, and the next rice crop won't be available for another 4 to 5 months. It's fall in the Southern Hemisphere, and many countries are short the food necessary to make it through the winter and have stopped exporting certain commodities altogether. Remember our trade deficit? Trillions of dollars have stacked up outside the country and are now rushing in to buy our food production at any price. By late summer, if not early fall, it is likely our government will step in and control food and food exports under martial law. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit us at www.readyreservefoods.com. 1-800-453-2202.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, folks, we're back. Sergeant Major Lee out of Florida. Hello, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. I'm Sergeant Major Lee, Ghost Troop.
How you doing?
Commanding officer is Captain May. Okay, I've got an email here today for you. Telegraph.co.uk. Chinese nuclear submarine base. Secretly built underground submarine base that could threaten Asia and challenge the United States in the region. Now and then, a couple months ago, we had a couple Chinese submarine and Russian submarine that came up in the middle of our Navy fleet over there by Japan and Taiwan. Now, what's going on with our government?
Well,
why is it that certain people have to get out and say, what's going on here?
Sergeant Major, one of the questions I have is, why did the brain trust in this country bestow upon the communist Chinese government most favored nation status to run absolutely incredible trade imbalances in this country, allow American corporations to go over there and operate and ship their goods back into this country to eliminate jobs. We are literally building the next boogeyman, as I've described, much like the supposed Cold War with Russia. We have turned around and we're feeding the coffers to build their military that would threaten us.
That's right. You know, they had a couple of schools here in Florida that collapsed. You have to excuse me, I just took my oxygen off and I get hoarse a couple of times. The steel that's coming in from China is only 20%. That was on CNN the other day. So everything that we're doing to China is going to make a slave state out of the United States here pretty soon.
And you were in service of your government, and what were you fighting for? For a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. to sell out our real interest in this country to make us vulnerable to the next boogeyman?
Well, let me tell you, I spent 3 years in Vietnam, shut down 13 times. And the thing that's going on right now in Iraq is the most disgusting thing for any soldier, mother or father. If somebody says, or is your son over in Iraq? And you say yes. Well, why are they killing innocent people? Well, let me tell you something. Take Mr. Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Miss Rice, put them into a hot LZ. And I guarantee you, we'll be pulled out within 30 minutes.
You know, Sergeant Major, you were in the Vietnam War, and it was really a police action, not even a war. That was a political little contest. I almost went to prison for 2.5 years because I refused. I was regular Army. I wasn't a draftee back in the early 70s. I joined the Army for an extra year so I could pick my duty station, my training and my duty station. I picked Germany. Well, little beknownst to this 18-year-old at the time, that when they sent me over there, I didn't really know the meaning of what GI meant, meaning government issue like a pair of socks or a Jeep. And they promptly told me, Sergeant Major, that, they were going to send me to Vietnam, and I was the lower-scale helicopter repairman at the time, 6'7", N-20. And they said, well, we're cutting your orders and we're sending you to Nam. That would have made me a door gunner, which my life expectancy in combat, I think at the time, was, 22 seconds or so. But I told them, I said, look, I'm not going. And they said, no, you don't understand. We'll see in Fort Leavenworth for 2.5 years. I said, look, if the United States military saw fit to train me and go through all that expense just to see me sitting in Fort Leavenworth for 2.5 years, where's my ticket? I'm out of here.
Let me ask you a question.
Sergeant Major, let me just finish the story because you would appreciate this out of anybody.
Okay.
They put me up in front of the commanding general of 7th COSCOM of all of Europe. There I was, 18 years old. And this guy, after his expletives, which I won't repeat on this program, but basically I was a commie pinko faggot sympathizer, and what is your major malfunction, troop? And I said, sir, general, if I can just encapsulate this, I won't waste any more of your time. He said, good, because you make me sick. I looked him square in his eye, and I said, look, this is a BS political war where the United States has no interest in beating communists in Southern Asia. You know that, and I know that. And I've seen 40,000 of my countrymen go down over this BS political war. And I said, that's all I have to say about it. He turned and looked at me, and he says, I'm rescinding your orders. I'm sending you to Leavenworth. I said, sir, thank you. I saluted him. I was out of his office. They pressured me for 2 weeks with the going to the prison type deal. And I said, I already told the general, send me, because I ain't going. Now, Sergeant Major, I got to tell you one other thing, and this comes directly off the Veterans Administration's own website on how many fatalities, U.S. fatalities, we have really had in Gulf War I and Gulf War I Part II. We have lost over 73,000 American lives due to this foray into the Middle East.
That's correct, and it's not even counting the soldiers that have died from depleted uranium, tumors, and cancer in the bones.
That's right.
Okay, I got a question for you. Did you go to Vietnam, sir?
No, I did not. Because I told him.
So
I said, you better
have
the...
You said you were going to be a door gunner, and I was with the 170th Buccaneer gunships, 540B model. We had a 40-millimeter mount on the nose and miniguns on the side. And all the infantry soldiers that were there, 1st Camp, airborne, infantry, every time we came in, even came in to pull out wounded after we jettisoned our pods, they worshipped the ground that we walked on. And I was with gunships for 2 years, and then I was with C Troop 717th Air Cav, a grunt platoon sergeant. And every man I had in my platoon for 3 years, 17 to 19, were men. And I worshiped the ground that every one of them walked on. Even when I got wounded, Doc was the second oldest because I was the old man. Doc was a college student that was going to medical school. And him and another soldier saved my life when I got hit with a WP grenade. So,
this war we're
going into Iran with this 30,000-pound bomb that the B-2 bombers and B-52 bombers just been fit with these new bomb racks. It's going to be something. And I believe that they're going to do the same thing they did in Iraq. They're going to use neutron bombs also and white phosphorus bombs in Iran.
Well,
not just the 30-pounders.
Yeah, and this is certainly something we don't want to see. Sergeant Major, I appreciate your call, sir.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that new submarine base that nobody knew about, and I just got it from a good friend.
All righty. Thank you, Sergeant.
And you have a good one, and God bless you, and you're still a good man, even though you didn't serve, sir.
Thank you.
Because it takes a man to tell the truth, and that's what the White House is not doing, sir.
I understand.
And if you can talk to me on the radio and tell the truth, you're a good man, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. Appreciate your call. Yeah, it isn't that I didn't want to serve, and just to make that clear, I didn't have the money for a college deferment, and I sure wasn't going to run out of my country like a scalded dog with my tail between my legs. I wasn't going to go over to Canada. That's why I joined for the extra year. That was a contract. Military wanted to break it. I'm not afraid of dying. I never have been. But I'll be hung upside in a bucket of dog doo-doo if somebody's going to put me in a situation that is untenable, that they don't really mean to win a war. And we weren't really fighting the communists. We were just growing the military-industrial complex and, well, bringing a lot of dope in the country and everything else. I mean, folks, it's maddening. I will not die for my country, but I sure as hell will kill for it on my own ground. All right? Adrian, we kind of went down a rabbit hole there, but that's okay.
Well, that's all right. You know, I always like to think when we're talking about wars about Afghanistan, because it's so fascinating, you know. We discovered all these terrible people in Afghanistan shortly after the French concluded a pipeline contract with the Afghanistani government. And then, you know, if you recall, before the Taliban got in power there, Afghanistan was the number one producer of heroin in the world. And the Taliban got in and they stopped the heroin production and it went right down to zero. They were not producing it anymore. And then we put Mr. Karzai in, that CIA puppet that is the mayor of Kabul, and lo and behold, Afghanistan is again number one in heroin production since we took over.
Yeah, the Taliban.
What the hell does that tell you?
Yeah, the Taliban were the bad guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I like what Napoleon said about our banker friends here. He says, and folks, if you're not familiar with the story of Napoleon, you know, the war with France and England, you know, it was one Rothschild that figured out that he could corner literally the mercantile and all of England. And during the little war there, a message was sent back to jolly old England, and he sat there right on their Wall Street and watched this happen. He caused it. He floated the rumor that England had actually lost the war against Napoleon. and he literally bought up the assets of England for pennies on a dollar. Napoleon said this, when a government is dependent for money upon the bankers, they are not the government leaders that control the nation. This is because the hand that gives is above the hand that takes. Financiers are without patriotism and without decency.
Well, and of course, the fact of the matter is that the Rothschild bankrolled Napoleon, they bankrolled the Austrian Empire, they bankrolled the Germans, they bankrolled the British, and they made money off of every one of them. Win or lose, they came out on top.
And if you take a look at these organizations, and we mentioned this earlier, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, these are the working groups. These are the hands-on people that make the business decisions, that influence policy, that influence
Absolutely.
Government here
the,
in this
the,
country.
The CFR runs about 200 study groups, and the study groups make policy for our government. I mean, there is no question. All you have to do, if you want to prove this to yourself, is to get a recent copy of Foreign Affairs. It's a quarterly journal. It's about an inch and a half, usually an inch and a half to 2 inches thick. It's full of articles. And if you want to find out what our government's plans are in the next 5 or 10 years, just read that through and you'll know what they are.
And my point behind this, Adrian, is simply this. If we're talking about money, energy, oil, electricity production, we're talking about food production, distribution, the agri-corps that have grown up, that are hand in hand with the government, if you take a look at what is fueling this entire thing, the wellspring is our Jewish banker friends.
Oh, yeah.
And people will not touch this with a 10-foot pole because they're afraid of being called anti-Semitic. Well, my suggestion to you, if that is your take on this, and you either fear or you want to convince yourself that, well, just to operate one more day and to get out of just a little bit more information, that I'm going to leave that subject matter alone. My suggestion is quit and go to work for the other side because they pay better and they got a better benefit retirement plan.
Well, the problem is that working for those people, you never know where you're going to be working the next day.
Or if you're going to be alive the next day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the problem is, and Adrian, I want to get your take on this because, and I hope the people really don't misunderstand that, you know, the 9/11 Truth Group out there. You guys did a wonderful job. You brought this issue to the American public. You convinced a lot of people that it was at the very least, the government allowing it to happen for its own purposes, or in fact, the government may have had a direct hand in making it happen. However, the case. This was just an example or an excuse to bring more of the police state, which had already been building for a number of years. This was a good excuse to roll into Iraq and into Afghanistan, which had absolutely nothing to do with it, but 70% of the American people, after the wonderful news wizards got a hold of their little craniums, actually they made them believe that, well, the reason why we're in Iraq is because Saddam Hussein, you know, he and his minions blew up the World Trade Center. You know, Adrian, they've done a good work. They've done a good job. But we are in the middle of an economic meltdown. We are in the throes here of the final takeover of America. And I've got people that still want to talk to me about 9/11. Where are their
minds? I know
minds?
This. You're absolutely right. You know, look, we can go through all of these occurrences that took place in the last 15 or so years. All of these occurrences from 9/11 back were orchestrated or carried out or allowed to take place in order to allow centralization of control of the economy, of the banking, of everything. Look, what happened during the Clinton administration in the banking industry, there was a huge consolidation. 800 savings and loans went belly up. Nobody really paid that much attention to it, but it allowed the banking sector to further consolidate. This consolidation continues on a daily basis.
If you'll recall, in the 50s, 60s, and through the 70s, there were the Seven Sisters. The Seven Sisters were the big seven petrochemical companies. Well, guess what? Today there's five. All of this globalization, centralization, and, you know, it all works hand in glove. What the hell do people think the American Union is about? What do they think that's about? It's about centralization. It's about creating another enterprise like the EU in this hemisphere. You know, and all of this, if you look at it historically, and if you read my books, you know, I don't want to plug myself, but if you read my books, you will see how this whole thing works step by step. By step by step, and eventually there'll be one international bank. Eventually there'll be one international company selling petroleum products. There'll be one Walmart. There'll be and so on and so forth. And it'll all be controlled by the same people in the same manner. And everybody will work for one of these companies. They'll be employee number 14,721. And if they don't do as they're told, they'll be fired. And if they're fired, they won't have a job. And if they don't have a job, they won't eat, and they'll starve and starve to death.
And when you boil all that down, you either have somewhat of a feast, well, depending on what they want to scraps they want to give you off their table. Or you're going to have Fathom.
Exactly. It's all obviously heading to a two-class society because The middle class in this country has been so decimated that there's virtually nothing left of it.
Yeah. And people, you know, it's feast or famine, and people have not quite figured that out. And for all of you talk show hosts out there, and I know a number of you listen to this program, and I do appreciate that, and a lot of wannabes out there, or if you're a truther, or if you really want to get down to what is causing the ills, specifically in this country, but more importantly, globally, let's start bringing up the same numbers that other foreign countries are. They know about the New World Order. They know what's controlling this. This is why you're seeing so many control mechanisms and hate laws passed around the world. It's because people are exposing the real criminal cabal, the very essence and the very root of this. And Adrian, again, I cannot express adequately my dismay of just keeping on hacking at the branches rather than striking at the root. We only have about 5 minutes left in this broadcast, but let's climb into Mr. Krieg's head here for a second. Let's suppose that we have an honest money system in this country. What would you see change almost immediately?
Well, obviously, the value of money would stabilize and inflation would stop. And for people to understand how bad inflation is, Alan Greenspan became head of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System 20 years ago. And he served for 18 years. In that period of time, the value of the dollar was diminished by 87%. George Bush has been in office for 7 years, 7.5 years now. And in that period of time, the dollar value diminished by a further 21%. In 1934 terms, a U.S. dollar, one single dollar, in 1934 terms, is worth 2 cents. This is what these SOBs are doing to us. If we did what Ron Paul would like to do and what I would like to see happen, and if we disbanded the Federal Reserve System,
if a deal could be struck tomorrow that would happen and they would need the contract signed in blood, I'd offer my life to have that done in this country. I literally would.
Yeah, this is only the tip of the problem, because these bankers hold the notes on what is called the national debt. Okay? Now, think about something. All of you, think about this very carefully. How did the bankers, when they were granted this monopoly, this banking monopoly called a Federal Reserve System, where did their money come from? The money was provided out of the United States Treasury. That's who gave them the money to operate. The national debt is nothing but a construct of the bankers. Just tell them we're not paying them back. Tell them to go take a hike. Why should we pay? They didn't pay us for the money that we provided when they opened their shop.
Well, and I've said before, people have asked me repeatedly, well, how would you go about dumping the Federal Reserve? Well, okay, we create a greenback system, call it anything you want. We say that we have our own money system now, and we're going to retire your debt in full, and we just write them a check. It would be the same kind of
dumb paper transaction that they're doing.
And what could they do? Cry foul?
They couldn't do a thing.
That's right.
They couldn't do a thing. No, I think that that should have to be done. I think the Internal Revenue statutes have to be scrapped. I think the basis of taxation in this country is basically faulty. It's wrong. It doesn't work.
That's right. The $1.2 trillion that the IRS collected last year, and a lot of stupid people out there, they get upset at Wesley Snipes because, well, he wasn't being fair. I've got to pay, so why should he get off the hook? Not one thin dime that they collected out of that $1.2 billion went for any government functionary service.
No, it all went to service the debt.
To pay the interest, which is just
exactly.
Paying the interest, not even touching the principal.
I know.
Oh. And
it's
disgusting. We have a complicit part of this. We have the Federal Reserve has given the United States government, at least Congress, a checkbook that, well, just keep writing the checks. It's never ending. You know,
yeah.
I if I'm Alan Greenspan, I'll make mention of irrational exuberance, where this guy is in there in the construct and the deconstruction of this country. And I've got to look at his silly little pockmarked-faced wife on MSNBC. I sit here and it just, Adrian, it just churns my butter to no end.
I like to just call him Green Spawn because that's better.
We got one more call. Rick, you got about a minute here. Go ahead. Rick in Nevada.
You're familiar with Dina Burnett's $1 trillion lawsuit against Saudi Arabia et al?
Vaguely.
She sued the Saudi Arabian government and many others for the 9/11 attacks. Mm. I suggest that the ones who ought to be sued are include the Secretary of State under Reagan,
mm-hmm.
that slimy Texan. His name escapes me right now. And in the spirit of the Danish resistance of World War II, that fellow ought to be on one of the top on the hit list when that time comes.
Well, I just want to be around and seated on the juries when we start trying the traitorous ones that have sold this country lock, stock, and barrel. I will live that long.
James Baker is the name I'm trying to call.
James Baker, and still active, too. Thanks, Rick.
Yes.
I appreciate
Take
your
care.
Call. Before departing, a few words. Over 700 pages long, the ISBN number, when you go into your bookstore, you got to give them this number. 0-974-850-2-8-4, or just simply call 800-431-1579. Adrian, we got to go. It's been a fast 2 hours. We'll have to have you back real soon.
Okay. Keep well, John.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you Monday, folks.
Men are